Greetings tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for everyone that came tonight, and thank you for that singing. What a blessing that was, and I think we have more people here tonight than we had here last night. So the Lord's given you increase. Bless his name, and thank you, brother, for leading the songs. What a joy and a blessing to sing together as the redeemed of the Lord. When this song was called out, my wife looked over at me and she mentioned Paul Kurtz. I don't know how ever you remember Paul Kurtz. That was one of his most favorite songs. And he's going on to meet the Lord now, but his wife does still live out in the state of Ohio, which we planned to see not too long ago or in the future here, Lord willing. Well, we praise God tonight that we can be here and we can sing. And I know you, brethren, have had a rich day, probably some would say a long day, of time together around God's Word, under God's Word, teaching and fellowship and in communication and just being together in the name of the Lord Jesus with faithful brethren and sisters. What a blessing and a joy. You know, there's some people in the world would give a lot to be able to be to a meeting like this, and they can't. They do not have that opportunity. And if they did, they'd be taken. I know you all do. We pray for them kind of people in them countries over there. Every day, some of them are being put to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always pray, Lord, them that are putting them to death, may they see Jesus in them and may he save them too. They could see people giving their life and laying down their life and going through all kinds of hunger and cold and very unfit living conditions like we're so used to here in this country in which we live. Well, we praise God for the Word of God again this evening. And we want to look at God's Word here for a short while before we dismiss and go home. And our message is called A Christ-Centered Home. That's what we're going to preach about. Now, I know these meetings are designed for single men and married men as well. It's a men's meeting. And I want to say that maybe not everything I'm going to say is necessarily for them, because it isn't. There's more than that. But yet I want you to be able to relate to each of the other issues that way. For example, if we could talk about the responsibilities of a husband here tonight, some of you young men aren't married yet, but one day, God willing, and according to how his will works out, you might be a husband. And you also do have a mother now that you can relate to, and how you relate to that mother now has a lot to do with how you're going to relate to your wife. And your wife's going to know in the future when you get married to a wife, she's going to know how you related to your mother. It's going to come out in the way you relate to her. So I would just like to say I'm going to read my back page first, and it's to you to the youth. It says in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, I think I'll read that there, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. If you want to go along with me there to read that, we're going to read those verses there. And we know these all, probably most of you all know my memory. Ephesians 6, 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's always right to obey your parents in the Lord. It might not always be right to obey them if they ask you to sin, but in the Lord. It's always right to obey your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, because God ordained it to be that way. And there's nothing more difficult for a father and a mother than to have children that do not honor them. That can be very difficult. But it says here to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. And he gives a promise here that thou mayest live long on the earth. What a blessing and what a joy to know that the blessing of God rests upon the life of those who honor their father and their mother. And I want to thank you, dear young people here this evening, each one of you, for the way you do that, to honor your father and your mother. And maybe there's a couple of you sitting here saying, well, how do you know me? How do you know what issues I might have? I don't know that. And I know you're human, and I know you're living in the flesh. Yes, you are. But I also know that you're here tonight, and you got your Bible open in front of you, and you're here to hear the Word of God, and God is going to bless you for this week of teaching that you are being received in here to be what he wants you to be. And ye fathers, Now, I know they say this meeting is for single men and married men. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. No, don't provoke them to wrath. But it says here, provoke them not to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is very, very important, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Servants, and I'm sure there's many people here work for somebody tonight. So this applies to all of us too, don't it? Sure does. Servants, be obedient to them that are, we don't have what we call servants here in our country. We have employers and employees. But here it says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. And you know, singleness of heart is important. A double-minded man, a double-hearted man, he's unstable in all his ways, but not a single. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but remember, we have somebody that we are responsible to give an account of far above our employer, our worker, or whoever it is that we might be working for, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And may God bless and strengthen you to do that always unto the Lord. That is very, very good. To honor parents, the Creator with God, to deeply venerate them with favor, with respect, with godly dignity, and holy reverence. That is a due recognition that God has created us to do and to be like. To always speak kindly to your parents and of your parents. That's very important. What you say to others about your dad, maybe when dad and mom don't hear what you're saying. That's extremely important. It's very important. You look at a brother that has failed that way in his young years. And I thank God for his forgiveness and his blessing. And I thank God for the seven children God has given us, how they have still do that yet today. And I'm not worthy of sometimes everything I hear them say. So it's to always speak kindly of them. Never disrespectfully, but to love them, to cherish them as a closest friend. And sometimes we don't want to really say, no, they're not my closest friend. Well, you'll find out later in life what that does mean to you when you continue to keep them as your closest friend, even though you have school friends, you have relatives, you have others at church and other places that you relate to, and you might say, that's my closest friend. But may God bless you to speak and stay close and cherish them as your closest friend always. Tell them so with words of affirmation. That's very, very important, to tell your parents you love them. To cheerfully and willingly obey them, because to disobey disconnects us. It misguides us. Yes, it does. It displaces affection. Have a grateful appreciation and always thank your parents. That's very important, to thank your parents, always. And not only our parents, but others. I try and make that a habit every night. My wife has to put, I get in bed, and my wife has to put some stuff in my one eye before we go to sleep, before she goes around and gets on her side of the bed. And when she does that, I try never to forget every night to tell her, Kathy, I love you. And I thank you for all you've done today. It means so much. And you might say, well, don't she get tired of hearing that every night? Well, I don't think so. No, because she just does so much for me. You know, I'm just going to bring this in here. I'm retired, what some people will call retired. I was a builder for 40-some years. I built new houses, and I built the last house in 2016. In 17, I got this cancer situation, and I haven't been, I did some little jobs and still do a little bit out in my shop yet sometimes, but basically speaking, I'm a retired man. But do you know what? My wife is not retired. And I want to bless you, dear sisters here. And I want you young men and you husbands to remember to do the same. My wife still has to get up every morning and make me breakfast. She still has to clean the house. She still has to do so much. She does my laundry. She does our, and she does so much for so many other people. If I would name the last week, all the things she took for other people to eat elsewhere, it would be quite a list of stuff. And I'm just so grateful she is that way. But you know, she's not retired. And you know, I think I slipped there. And I'm trying to do a little better. I try now to always take the dishwasher and get all the clean dishes out of it and put them in the cupboards in the silverware tray there. I do that a lot now for her. I run the vacuum cleaner. I'll take the power nozzle and clean the whole basement of the house, you know, because she's still not retired yet. Her work is still going on. Now, I realize she don't have a family of little children like some of you dear sisters here do tonight. And she does have a 40-year-old daughter that's at home, but does so much for me too and for our household. That is very important to have that appreciation and thankfulness. Communicate freely always, and never be ashamed to identify with your parents, young people, young men. Never be ashamed to do that. Now, I know some of you might have unbelieving parents, and they might do some things you would be ashamed of. I understand that part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. Never be ashamed. I tell you, before I was converted, I was. When I'd go with my damn mom to the store, and I was in my teen years there, I sort of just didn't quite want to be seen with them always. And I lacked there. But thank God, when he saved and redeemed me, that changed. Praise God. And I've never been ashamed to be with them since then. Always be ashamed to, or never be ashamed to identify with them. To honor all God-ordained authorities is a very good thing, too. All God-ordained authorities. You have your parents? Yes, you do. You have, some of you have school teachers. Some of you have people you work for. And we have the church, and we have the government. We have a lot of authorities in our life. And It's a blessing to always honor all good authorities over us. Honor all men. I think there's another part of that verse there. It's not coming to my mind. Rightly influence your siblings. You have brothers and sisters. Yes, that with appeal, that's very good, to rightly influence your siblings. Some boys grow up and they learn some things from their big brothers they should have never learned. And sometimes girls do the same. But remember, young people, always be a right influence to appeal to your single. John 4 says, by walking in the truth. That's where it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Adulthood is born by honoring parenthood and being saved. That's how adulthood is born. So we'd like to just go through some of these issues here tonight and let the Lord lead our lives and direct us into family relationships. That is a blessing. The home is the number one oldest institution. And husband and wife relationship is a very, very beautiful relationship. It's how God created man there. Yes, he did. In the garden, Adam and Eve there to have a relationship. And I often read that account and just sit back and wonder just what Adam thought about all of that when God created Eve and brought him out to him. Yes, he took one of his ribs out there and made that woman for him. What a blessing and a joy that was to him. The home is best when both are born again. That's when it's the best. When they're blood washed and they're spirit filled. Yes, that's when a home is best. And it is less difficult to be what God designed it to be. The home is best when we are walking in truth and obedience to God's word. And Christ Jesus is the focal point and his word in our relationship. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I have some verses for us to read there. Deuteronomy chapter 11, I have marked here. And this is what it says in verse Deuteronomy 21, I want to read that verse. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Now, I'm not sure, and you can correct me, but I don't know if I can find another verse in the Bible that talks about the relationship of us and our fathers as being heaven on earth. Now, I know there's some scriptures that definitely would give some intent to that. But that is such a joy there. He says that your days would be of heaven upon earth. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. And many, many songs we sing. And I want to say that of a Christian godly home where fathers and mothers, and you know that, live in the love of God and in the Spirit of God, it's like heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That's an old saying. I remember the old people talking about that was like heaven on earth when they went through some experience that they were very, very happy for. Yes, the days of heaven upon earth. And how much days do we have? Well, I guess in a week, what do we have there? 168 hours? And I don't know how many hours you sleep a night. Maybe 112. Or no, a month, I'm sorry, in a month. This is a month. Sleep, and maybe you're in church 2.5 hours, and maybe 1.5 hours, or maybe 5 hours Sunday morning, and that gives you still yet 107 hours at home. Yes, to have a Christ-centered home there at home. A Christ-centered home is constant with Bible reading, study, meditation, prayer, by all family members, singing and having an interpersonal communication with each other. And we talked about that last night, that singing. Yes, we're a commitment to our people, our family, and our public devotion and worship is consistent and very important. There are many distractions to steal away from our time. From these, how many times did you hear people say, "Yeah, I was going to do that, but I didn't have time to"? Okay, that's a common excuse. You hear that all the time. Yeah, I was going to make it, but we didn't have time. I was going to try and get that done today, but I just didn't get it done. I didn't have time. Yes, we have many distractions to our time, and we need to have priorities in what we allow or permit to distract us. Understand that. We all have issues about us that distract sometimes. I had one of them today. And I'm thankful by God's prayers that I'm standing here tonight. Thank the Lord. I praise God for that. I knew you, brother, had been praying. And I didn't know I was going to have happened today what happened to me. But here I am. And I praise God. Hallelujah. He was with me. And here I am standing tonight praising God. Because of the things that come into the distractions, to steal away our time. And Christ reminds us that we cannot serve two. We either will serve the one or serve the other. So that depends a lot which one we're serving, where our priorities are directed to, and in which direction. Yes, that's very important. Electronic technology today has had a serious damage in this area. Of many, many people's lives and hearts. So it has. Yes, it has. I know technology has some good things about it. Yes, it does. But sometimes I think maybe we go through our devotions too fast. And we don't take time and we don't think and we don't meditate and ask God as we go through these. A Christ-centered home is her father and husband. Directs the affairs and the functions of the home in a godly fashion, along with his wife, who biblically will bless him, his fulfillment. Yes, if she's a godly wife, she's one of them wives that supports him as a God-ordained head of her home. It is such a joy and a blessing to be able to relate to those kind of relationships, to have those kind of relationships, husbands and you young men as you and would grow up and get married. And God bless you, dear sisters here this evening, and wives, for being what you are under your husband's head, how God created you. A godly woman is not a worldly fashion lover. No, she's not a career woman. She's not a foolish woman that plucketh down her house. But she's a wise, virtuous woman who builds up her house with gracious endeavors of kindness and prudence and virtue and faithfulness. And brethren, if you have a wife like that, don't you ever be unthankful and tell her how much you appreciate her. Yes, what a joy and a blessing that is. She carries more responsibilities in her Proverbs 31 character. She's a Proverbs 31 character and a fear of the Lord. And she has a covered head. Praise God. And bless you, dear sisters, for having that covered head, as we mentioned that verse last night. That's such a blessing, and God bless you. One time we were on an airplane headed to preach somewhere in South Dakota. And when we got to the airport, they said, the plane's full. They overbooked this plane. You're going to have to wait, come to another. So I can't remember if I called the minister up there and said, I'm not sure we're going to make it for tonight's message. But anyhow, we went. He said, you can get over here and wait on standby. We'll get the plane loaded. And that's what my wife and I did. We went over there and sat and waited. And finally, the plane got all loaded, and they come across the speaker system saying, we have room for two more people. And there was five of us in standby, and the other three were ahead of us. The other three were ahead of us. So they were chosen. And then that man and woman got to talk about, yeah, but we can't go without a child. We can't just send two of us and not three. So we're going to decline. Don't you know they put us on that plane? We made her, praise God. We prayed the Lord would make it. And it was a smaller plane. It wasn't a 727, one of the bigger ones you normally fly. But anyhow, my wife sat all the way in the front, and I sat almost all the way in the back. And when we took off, the stewardess sat down on a little seat and buckled herself in right on the other side of the aisle from my wife up front there. So I saw them two talking. When we were taking off, I saw them two talking, and they were talking, and after a while, we got up in the air and got to flying, and they come back through the aisle to give us a little, you know, drink or pretzels or whatever they do anymore in planes. I remember when they used to always give you meals, but anyhow, them days aren't anymore. And anyhow, this lady come back through there to me, and I said, hi, what's your name? And she said, Rachel. Oh. Rachel, okay. So I thought, now I wonder what I should say to this woman. I said, you know who Rachel was in the Bible? No. So I waited a while, and I said, she was Jacob's wife. I could tell. I was turning her off. I think she was saying, what in the world have you got to talk with me about that? I don't. So I'm a slow thinker, and I'm not sure I did say the right thing. Sometimes I have to wonder. And then I said this to Rachel. I said, do you know what the Bible says about Rachel? It says she was well-favored and beautiful. I tell you, well, I got her that time. Now I have her. Now I'm going to think, no, what am I going to say to this good lady? It says she's well-favored and beautiful, and I didn't know what to say next. But the Lord brought it to me. Yes, he did. He brought it out of the book of Proverbs 31. Favor is deceitful, I said, and beauty is vain. But I said, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I said, that woman you were talking up there is my wife. I said, she's a woman that fears the Lord. And that's how she went back through the aisle then. Yes, that was the stewardess Rachel here on the plane that day as we were flying out there to preach in South Dakota. A Christ-centered home is when a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. That's Bible teaching for us. Yes. And how is that? He gave himself for her. That's what he did. Christ gave himself for the church, and we give ourselves for our wife. If that is in place, there are very few wives who will suffer spiritual impairments. You have a husband, dear wives, or those of you who are here tonight, And you, dear husbands, have a wife that you love like Christ loves the church. You have a woman that seldom will suffer spiritual impairments. Yes, it's just not human love because it's Christ's love. And God bless you, dear sisters, for your prayer railing that you wear. What a blessing and a joy that is to have that veiled head for God and for Christ and for your husband. Yes, it is. It's also, you need to have a veiled heart. A veiled head is important, but a veiled heart is. And I think you know some ladies, and I know some ladies that has a veiled head, but I wouldn't say it sounds like they have much of a veiled heart. But it's important to have a veiled heart and endeavor to keep your heads covered, sisters. What a joy, blessing that is. A Christ-centered home is where parenting and child training is very important and taken seriously in the fear of the Lord. That's very, very important. Yes, it is. Yes, it says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yes, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's very important. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think I have a verse, a couple of verses there I'd like to read. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll begin reading verse 1. Now these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might be in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, we call that our grandsons, yes, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mighty, as the Lord God of the fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command this day shall be in your head. They need to be there too, in your heart. That's important. In your heart. Yes, it is. And also teach them casually when you got time to your children. They also teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way. Last night I was trying to think of a verse that talks about singing as a person walks. And when thou liest down, and when thou liest up, or risest up, there's not no time left, is there? No. But thou shalt diligently teach your children all the time the statutes of the Lord. What a joy that brings. Sometimes maybe after our family devotion is over, we get so busy with other things, we just forget, and they forget it too. Verse 8 says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them diligently upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I know you probably, some of you have little mottos in your house with scripture verses on, and it's a constant reminder. So it is. Yes, indeed it is. Teach them diligently to thy children. The most effective way to do so is by example. Teaching by word of mouth is one thing, but then how they see you live, how they see you act and react or fail to act or overreact, that has a lot to do with the words of teaching that you diligently teach your children. Teaching by example and then imparting biblical truth into their lives from little on up, continually, but with the right spirit, loving God and in his inspired word, make a difference for the good. Also, loving your spouse is very effective to bring your children to stable security and confident mindset. But the opposite is also just as true. If you don't love your spouse, it has a way of bringing insecurity and unconfidence in the lives of many children. Lives of many children. And I don't know where I just read an article, and I don't know if I'm quite correct in this, but I think, where they say that the majority of children in the U.S., and I forget what grades or ages that is, only live in a home with one parent, not two. And I forget the vast number. I couldn't hardly believe it. In America, it's that many. Yes. Bring them up. Give them a mindset. The opposite is so true. Parents endeavor to have an orderly family life. Have times for daily functions. When you get up and when you go to bed. Not whenever you want to get up. Yeah, we're going to bed. If you just want to stay up, go ahead. And I'm not saying there's never no time and opportunity, especially as children get older. I'm not saying that at all. But a lot of homes are very disorganized. And it gives such a blessing to their adult life when they grow up and have children because of the way you orderly had a time schedule. And I know we can get overboard maybe a little too much with it's all about that only, rather than maybe what else he's doing. But mealtime is important. Devotions, going to church and attending the church is very, very important to have a time schedule with your family. Keep communication open and free all the time. Sometimes it seems like when I grew up, when you started reaching your 13 or your teenage years, it just seems like young people in our age just didn't talk much with dad and mom anymore. They did what they had to, but the communication was just not free and open. And that's so very, very important. Yes. I know my wife and I failed in that some too, but I'm so thankful that we did do as well as we did. And my wife is extremely important to help me do that. And they still, our children still are very free and open with us, and we praise God for that. Keep it open. Keep their heart. Make it as natural and easy to communicate with you as it can be. That's very, very important. Yes, it was. Husbands need to be considerate of his expectations and workload that he puts upon his wife. That's like I said this morning, or just a while ago here. My dear wife still has to work so hard yet. Yes, she does. And she's a very good housekeeper, and I thank God for that. Yes, but you know, faithful fidelity is also very important and an essential element of a Christ-centered home. Be a one-woman man, men. You dear young men, you get married one time, you're going to have one, and you might say, huh, what are you talking about? That bride I'm choosing, marriage, she's going to be, all I ever need are one. Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to be a one man, because there's too many married men that are not, and it's not good out in this world today, especially those who are living after the lust of the flesh. But it's very important to be a one-woman man. It's very important element, so it is. Yes, guard your eyes and thoughts and always be open to your spouse. That's very important, to always be open to your spouse. Then the wife, in faithful subjection with deep reverence and godly respect and honor, walks beside him and supports his leadership, and it's a tremendous security in her life. And God bless you, dear brethren, for doing that to your wives. Husbands can become too burned out sometimes. I understand that. Just like some ladies can, or wives can, they can become burdened down, and they need a wife's support and encouragement. And for those of you who are wives here this morning or this evening, may God bless you. When your husband needs that support and encouragement, that you're there to help him. Always be open and free to each other, to relate by communication, and always affirm your love towards each other. Be thankful and appreciative to each other, and use your thinking ability to create ways to do so. Now, that's something my wife is so much better at than I am. But I'm thankful I can think of some things sometime, but I have some other children and those around me that help me sometimes in that. And always, as Hebrews 13:16 says, be good, to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And we praise God for that this evening. Now to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn our Bibles over there. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of this chapter. And like I said, this is a men's meeting, and this verse starts out to the wives. Likewise, ye wives, it says over here. That's what it says. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. And you know, I have seen men saved that way. Yes, I have. I have seen men saved that way. They will not go to church. They will not go hear a preacher. A preacher will come see them. Someone else will witness or testify them, and they will have nothing to do with it. And I see men like that converted down in the country of Jamaica, more than one. Their wives got converted. And when my parents started preaching the word there, 1971, however many years ago that's been, that's how long it's been, we had a number of wives that turned their, or ladies that were converted. And back in that country, in that day, most of them were not married. And many of them women had children to 1, 2, 3 men and more. I mean, that's just common how it was. And I saw one of them, and one of them, excuse me, I was just asked to speak out last summer. I saw Sister Barbara get saved when she was just a young girl. And she's been saved ever since. And last summer, she went to be with the Lord. Thank God her son and husband are saved. Thank God her daughter is saved. And she lives up here, and she's part of our congregation in Oakwoodstown. Sister Camila, I know some of you know her. Yes. But I remember some, it didn't happen. I remember Sister Kitty, is what her name was. And I don't think her husband, if I'm right, Kathy, if you could correct me, ever did get saved before he died. But a number of them, when they would grow old, their husbands, they would give their life to Jesus Christ. And it was sort of a little unusual for some of us to see how that happened. So it was we're thankful for that. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, and you can pray for us. If the Lord tarries in a week from tonight, that's where I'll be standing on that pulpit there in Jamaica down there. But anyhow, we never know what a week can happen, can we? No, but the Lord willing, that's the plans here. Who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of a pearl, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Now, when it says that about that in the sight of God, that's a tremendous important thought to think about. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in God's sight is a great price. It doesn't say it's important. It doesn't say it's a good thing when they can do it. It said it's a great price. I would say it's priceless. Priceless. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. And then he goes on to the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I believe that dwelling with them according to knowledge is the understanding of how God made a woman different than you men. And I don't think a lot of men understand that. And that's why they take advantage of their wife. And that's why they're not as kind as they should. And that's why they have expectations of their wife. Because they think too many men do not realize what it would be like to be subject to themselves. If they were their wife and had to be subject to them, I think there's some men that don't quite think that through good enough. The way I have expectations of my dear wife, could I do that? Would I be willing to do that? Do you think I could do that? Yes. The two genders are different from each other. And I think many men lack that understanding of how their wife is more tender, more emotional, and made different than himself. Why are you crying? I heard so many men say that. Why are you crying? Can't you get over it? What's the matter with you? You're like your mom. That's how she used to do. You ever hear people talk like that to their wife? Yeah, you're like your mom. Some men don't get it. I'm telling you, I believe some men, how it would be to submit to themselves and have that emotional stress and pressure it puts on their, that they put on their wife. So I'd just like to encourage you, dear husbands and brothers, and I know God's grace has been given you the grace to do that. Don't ever take your wife for granted. You are to be there to bear the emotional, the physical, the financial, the spiritual burdens of your family for your wife. That's your responsibility, dear brother. Yes, indeed it is. They are very, very busy. Yes, they are. And God bless you, dear single wives that are here. This, like I told you, I have one single daughter, and she is such a beautiful picture of a virtuous woman. Pray for truth for your children and teach them to pray and to build faith and trust in God and His Word. That's very, very important. I'd like to ask you a question. Do your children know how important prayer is to you? Teach children the joy and the blessing of singing from the heart. And I just want to thank the Lord for that singing again here tonight. It's heaven on earth. Praise God. Yes. Teach them how to sing. That's very, very important. Teach them to sit up straight. Teach them to hold their head up. Teach them to hold the book up. Teach them to open their mouth. Teach them to memorize hymns. And how do we do that? By singing with them. Yes. I tell you, I watched a little two-year-old girl. Now, they can't read, can they? Sing a song. Where did I tell you? Where was that at? I was amazed how that little two-year-old girl sang with right the rest of us adults. I mean, word for word, she had it right down pat. What a joy. Do you think she learned it that night there in church? Well, I'm sure that helped, but she learned that at home with her parents. Yes, in their family devotions, sing with your children and teach them the joy. There's just something about singing that God created in our voice box that nothing else, I don't think, can take the place of that. It's a God-created blessing, yes, to do that, to sing. Teach them also to be very attentive in family devotions, to sit still, to listen carefully. It preps them for church and beyond. And I want to tell you one thing. I don't know how many first grade teachers we have here tonight, but a first grade teacher can tell you when they get a child in first grade that never had to sit in family devotions at home. And they can tell you the big difference between those who have been taught to sit in family devotions at home. There's a big difference. A first grade teacher can tell you that very quickly. Secure your child's will by biblical discipline at a young age. Be diligent. Be consistent. It's important to know that if I do wrong, I'm going to get hurt by a spanking. That's right. And some people have a variety of age when you should start spanking a child. And I realize not all children are quite the same. And I also realize it depends on the issue that happened that can make a difference. But I'll just give you this for an example. How many of you have a hot wood stove in your house like I do, and you had a two-year-old that accidentally one day and touched that thing? Ah! There you go, my hands. I watched it happen in my house. Not long after that, that same child walked up to that hot wood stove. This is what it did. It remembered about it. It never forgot that. No, it didn't. And that's just what a spanking, I think, can do to a child there. And I'm not saying have hard spankings on your two-year-old, but I'm telling you, their young minds can grasp that maybe sooner than sometimes we think of. Teaching that they can understand disobedience is not an option. Just like touching a hot stove is not an option. They then will be content and guiltless and will love and reverence you for it. Hebrews 12, 9 and 11. I'm going to read that there in relation to that thought. Hebrews 12, 9 says, "Father, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. So we might not rather be subject unto the Father's spirits and live, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness of them which are exercised thereby." And that's so very, very important. Guard the sacredness of your home by incoming influences. That's very important. Yes, it is. What's coming into your home? Whether it's mail, whether it's books, whether it's magazines. I know you probably do not have TV and radio, but some people do, and whether it's other music, whether it's internet or social media or videos, whether it's people, there's many influences in our home, and we need to have a guard. Who's there and what they're doing? Know who and what your youth is in contact to, and where they are and what they're doing is very important. I used to sneak away when I wasn't saved and do things that I wouldn't tell Pop. Thank God he forgave me of that. Yes. And beware of permissive sins, that he wrote Bible principles like Eli, he didn't restrain his children. Yes. Teach your children the blessing of work. That's important. Teach your sons a trade. And teach your girls what homemaking is all about. And how to work, and how to work well, and how to finish it. My father used to say, "Once the job you have begun, never leave it till you're done. Be it great or be it small, do it right or not at all." And that's very important, that we teach our children. And sometimes we might say to the sons, "Well, the job is all done. Look it over. You did everything. Except for one thing. None of the tools got put away." Oh, that's still part of the job, isn't it? Yep. Wrap the extension cords up and hang them up where they belong and put all the put these hammers over here and the wrenches back in their drawers again, or the sockets or whatever it might be. Getting that all back in place again is very, very important. So the next time you have a job to do and you go pull the socket drawer and whoops, these sockets are missing. I wonder where they're at. Oh, that's right there out there in the grass where I was working on that lawnmower. I have to go out and look for them, see if I can find them. Yes, that's very, very important. We're going to wrap this up now. I would say teach your children how to use money. And we could make a whole message out of this one. But we're just going to give you four basic principles that's going to be very valuable to them. Just four. Number one, how to earn money honestly. How to save money discreetly. How to spend money wisely, and how to give money graciously. That's just the four things I'll give on money. That's very, very important. I want to tell you, when they get older, they will thank you for that. I know many of my, well, I won't say what they are. When they went to get married, they hardly had any money. Just didn't hardly had any, because the way they blew it, the way they spent it in cars and mag wheels and all the stuff that young people can spend it on. When it came time to get married, they hardly had any money. A lot of them couldn't buy a house. Yes, that's one thing. When I married my dear wife, you see, she was an important worker. And so she was. She worked away, and she worked for New Holland Machine. And she saved a lot of money. And we were able to pay almost cash for our first house that we bought. Now, I'll tell you this. We only paid $6,500 for it. And that was a rundown house in Kleinfeldersville, Pennsylvania, not real far from here. But anyhow, we only lived there 4 years, and we sold that thing for over $25,000. And, you know, because of the work we done to it. But I just praise God that she had that money, because I certainly did not have that much. Teach your children the facts of life. That's important. Yes, it is. Teach them their body development. As they grow up, start getting older, start developing in adult bodies, it's very important to teach them that, and also teach them the shame of nakedness so that they can cover their bodies and keep themselves pure. Now, that one black hook book we got here, you know who wrote that book, don't you? John Overholt. Yes, we got a picture of him in our house. He's been in our house already. I knew Brother John before he ever passed away, and I don't know how many years he's gone. But when John Overholt was a young man, and I can't remember what state he lived in. I want to say Missouri, but don't hold me to that. He was called to go and serve a year over in, I can't tell you what country. I might want to say Germany, but he was called to go on a load of cattle that they were shipping out. It was during the war, but this was not a warship. And it was some kind of a, I don't know if U.S. was sending a load of cattle to a certain place or something, but somehow he got arrangements to go and spend a year in that country with them. And he knelt, and I'm pretty certain I'm right on this, he was still an Amish boy. He knelt in the bedroom of his, or in the living room of his house with his father and mother, and this was his prayer. Bring me back pure, or bring me back dead. Excuse me. He came back pure. Praise God. That's how he came back pure. Thank the Lord. So teach them the facts of life. Yes, and how reproduction happens. And teach them to guard their virginity and their purity with life. Keep thyself pure, Paul tells Timothy. Pure in heart. Keep thyself pure. Yes. And your children will appreciate when they grow up and have children that you have taught them that. Teach them to identify with their human nature and to learn to overcome selfishness. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it, to overcome selfishness? And I know what you're thinking. Well, we've got to pick up our cross like Jesus says, except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And that is right. And that is the, but even when they're young, before their conversion age, it's important to teach them how to deny and overcome selfishness. Now, Jesus does say one time, and that's Luke's gospel, it's a little different. There's one more word added. Some people say that's when it happens. When you get saved, that's when you denied yourself, and that's all you have to deny yourself after that. It's a conversion experience. It's over. But Luke adds one more word to that phrase. Except a man deny himself daily and take up his cross. That means every morning. Every day, he cannot be my disciple. That's very important, to learn to serve. Yes, it's very important in the church, in the house, in the community, in God's kingdom, wherever it is. Teach your children to be thankful. We already had that, to be polite, to be respectful to all, and to honor others, especially the elderly, their teachers, their ministers. And I want to tell you this, never talk negative about your ministers to your children or your church or their school teachers. I've seen children turn hard against the church, against their parents, because of something that they were told in a wrong way. Now, I know when they get older, we can go into more details and we can say it in a positive, constructive way, even though it is about something that shouldn't be or is not right. I understand that. But too many times, I think children hear this talk about the preacher and about this and about whoever it might be. Last but not least, teach them to come to a saving Christ in Jesus Christ. God bless you.